This podcast is brought to you by Lanco Group, your business partner for engineering solutions. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
The header is good, and it's the giant defender John Tewook, and eventually Korea have broken the deadlock.
You're listening to the K-League United podcast, proud partner of Football Nation Radio.
Hello, I'm Aseo. Ryan Walters in the K-League United bunker for a two-man booth this week, joined by Matthew Binns.
Hello.
Matthew, quite the weekend for you.
Yes.
You're usually in a somewhat smug mood for the podcast.
I've been told. It comes over a little bit smug.
It's in overdrive. I would say it's not smugness. It's a happiness that's there today, because over the weekend...
It's content and satisfaction in knowing that... The best.
Yeah. The good things are coming your way. Not only did you see Rika the Hedgehog in person.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I did.
You also saw Man City move on to Champions League.
I did. They defeated little old Real Madrid.
Yeah, some small team from Spain. And you also, perhaps most importantly out of all of these, you maintained your hold on the KLU championship belt. And I guess, as Incheon Luke might say, it was inevitable.
Indeed it was. It was inevitable. And that was, if you're following the K-League United Championship on Twitter, there's a lovely picture of me face photoshopped as Thanos. But yes.
With I want to know how he stretched out the Jumbook kit, because there's a Jumbook kit over Thanos and it's very size appropriate. Luke's very talented in Photoshop.
I think he found like one of the Kim Min Jae ones.
Right. That's right.
No, but yeah, it was... So for those who are wondering what we're on about, it's our writers, we battle it out for a belt. Yes, it is childish. Mm-hmm. And
it's not like it's literally a child's toy belt that we hand off to the winner.
Yeah. But anyway, I still possess it after mm-hmm. Muyol challenged me, our Daegu writer, Muyol. Yep. And it's still mine for now.
For now, yeah. And again... Congrats on City moving on.
Yeah, very happy with that.
I know that's one of the final trophies that you want. That's which of the Infinity Stones would you say that title would be for you guys?
Well, I think, it is a K-League podcast, so I won't go too far into it, but I think Man City, we've always kind of rated the league more, but I think this year, especially with what's gone on off the pitch, mm-hmm. I think there's quite a motivation to try and come away with it this year, and it's going to be a knockout tournament as well for the final few legs. So,
it's going to be an
interesting week.
Yeah, I'm all for that. I love that slight change this year in a year that we need silver linings. I think that is one of the ones. I don't necessarily want to see it every year, but I really like it, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And I wish that the games didn't start at 4 a.m. for us here in Korea. That's all sorts of fun, but. Anyway, we're not here to talk about that version of Champions League or any Champions League this week. Hopefully we'll have a little bit on AFC Champions League soon. Still waiting to see where the other groups in the East bracket for Champions League are going to be held. After that, we'll talk about that more. But for now, we are going to talk about your weekend in Daegu when somehow you watched a game instead of just watching what Rika was doing the whole time.
I know. It was very difficult.
Very bizarre, yeah. But we'll talk about the K-League 1 weekend. We'll recap round 15, and this time we're going to go match by match to make sure we don't leave anybody out. And then we'll do the same thing with K2, because, you know, got to talk about the party. Got to talk about the actual division. K2 is absolutely nuts right now, and we will talk about that. And then we'll come back and we'll preview the upcoming weekend. We'll talk about round 16 in K-League 1, round 15 in K-League 2. And then this week we have a very special ending to the podcast. No mailbag this week, no quizzes. You actually won't even hear from the two of us. You'll be hearing from George Slade and the interview that he did with Bucheon 1995's media officer, Hwang Jun-chul, a name that you might recognize from last year. We had an interview with George and Jun last year talking about his experience being a media officer here and just kind of marketing K-League within Korea. But this year... We are going to be talking to him about a new book that he's got out.
Yeah, that's right. He's got a new book. It's in Korean. It's called Eoneul-do Gongeun Gulaganda. All those lessons at Yonsei have paid off there. Took a run up there. But the title loosely translates across to "the ball is rolling again today." But he's going to explain a bit more what the title means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and June has had a very fascinating career in football. He's been all over the place. And, well, I'll let him talk about that a little bit later. But that's what we'll be ending with this week. So all sorts of fun stuff to get into. And, yeah, we don't do it all that often, so I always like when we can recap the games. And let's just go ahead. Let's start with K1 because mm-hmm. that's what the people want, I suppose. And let's start on Friday night.
Yes.
Friday night, FC Seoul won 2-0. Mm-hmm. For Gangwon FC, and this was a version of Seoul that I haven't seen in a long time. The win, I mentioned this on Twitter, but the win, back-to-back wins for Seoul, was their first since June of 2019. Paul's mentioned this a lot on the podcast recently, that Seoul kind of stumbled into ACL last year, and they did, and I think that definitely proves it there. But manager Kim Ho-young trusted the kids, and boy, that worked.
Yeah, definitely. Jung Han-min with the opener, mm-hmm. and... even while Hanson Q, he's not exactly old either, is he?
Right.
Played a young team, and they looked exciting. I don't rarely say that about Seoul, and usually it pains me to say it, but they just got a new lease of life in them. And maybe it also helped having the fans back as well. You know, we have talked about how teams are affected without a fan base, and Seoul are a team that usually have the highest attendances or up there at the end of the season every year, and maybe having no fans up until now has also been affecting them on the pitch, but...
They just looked completely different. Mm-hmm. I've talked a lot on the pod about that FA Cup loss to Pohong and how, I mean, at the end of the match, before Pohong retook the lead, I just couldn't believe how lax they were. Or I should say when Seoul was only down one goal at the end of the game, rather. And they weren't even pressing the ball. They weren't even running up. They just did not care. And that was the moment that I knew that Choi Young-soo had to go.
Mm.
This past weekend, however, on Friday, they were all over the place, and it wasn't this blind aggression. Like, they were just up for it, and like you say, I think the fans being back does help, but, you know, there's always going to be a new manager boost as well, but I think Kim Ho-young has done this really intelligently and has really shifted the sides. We've seen Yang Han-bin come back in net. That's not to say that Yoo Sung-hoon isn't a talented keeper. He is, but you need to switch things up, and I think he understands that, and he has done that. And surprise, surprise, a four-man back line with some new strikers up top. Oh, it's working out. How weird.
Yeah. It's
like you're using Park Chu-young off of the bench as a super sub, which is what he should be at this stage in his career. And, I mean, I still don't even think that he should have came into that game, to be honest, because Cho Young-uk was fantastic. Mm-hmm. The whole attack flowed through him almost the entire time. Was great down the wing, held the ball up pretty well. His crossing needs a little bit of work, but I thought he had a fantastic match. And Hanson Gyu, oh man,
yeah,
what a night.
Well, it annoys me more because it shows he's on Jeonbuk's books, and Jeonbuk are loaning him out, and clearly, well, we already knew he was a talent because Jeonbuk bought him as the reigning young player of the year back at the start of 2019. So Jeonbuk have just loaned him out to Seoul, and Seoul have got a steal there, really. That's one talent I want to come back to Jeonbuk next season and try and show what he can do there.
I think, yeah, this is another area where Kim Ho-young's getting it right, giving him those minutes. And Seoul might try to go in and just make this a full transfer if they can. If they were smart, they would.
Yeah, you wouldn't blame him.
But anyway, we got to move on because...
Well, just before we do, we should really touch on Gangwon as well. I just think...
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, let's talk about that real quick.
Byung-soo ball is not...
I hate this because... I love the way that they play, and we've talked about this so much this year. They've got to start getting results. They're not getting results, and I just don't know how they didn't have a transfer window. I don't know how they didn't have a transfer window. How do you not pick up some defensive help? How do you not get a more stable goalkeeper? I don't know what they were doing personnel-wise, but also they've won with the personnel that's there, and I think... Sometimes Kim Byung-soo can outsmart himself, and he's been doing that a lot this year.
Mm-hmm.
And cause for concern with Gangwon, for sure.
Yep, second worst form in the... No, third worst form in the league at present, Gangwon. Haven't won in the last four.
And they don't win away from home. They just don't win away from home at all. Yeah, concerning stuff for them, especially early on, it looked like they had the talent to do it. But I mean, and this has been pointed out on social as well, is this Gangwon FC or is it Hankook Young FC? Because without him, they're a completely different team. But we do need to move on. But mercifully, the next one we're going to talk about finished 0-0, and that was Ulsan Hyundai hosting Suwon Samsung Blue Wings. So this one will be a slightly shorter recap there anyway.
Yeah, also, Junior scores when he wants, so clearly he didn't want to
this
weekend.
He just didn't want to, He wanted to give other people a chance.
He did miss a free header late on, which I'm sure will upset him a little bit. The main talking point from this, there was a penalty shout for Suwon that was turned down. It was a foul on Hansok. My initial thought was that it was a penalty. I'm still not 100% sold it wasn't, but it referent to VAR overturned it. And the other talking point was the sending off from Kim Tae-hwan. I think his first yellow, so there's some discussion online whether he should have, was a deserved red. He got two yellow card offences. I think the first yellow card was possibly a little bit soft, but the second one, for me, had to be, because it was more not so much about the tackle, but the way he lashed out with his fist afterwards. And to be honest, that's a straight red. That would be a straight red. So, no real complaints there. But 0-0. Frustrating day at the office for Ulsan, but encouraging for Suwon.
I was going to say, we talked about this before we came on. Like you were saying, like we say all the time, I'm just not a fan of a three-man back line for the most part. It does work for Daegu from time to time, but too many teams do it too often. It makes them too defensive, or it just pulls them apart too much with not enough communication. I think the latter is what we've been seeing with Suwon. They've been pulled apart a lot with the three-man back line. They switched to a four-man back line, and they just held a clean sheet against the league, arguably the best attack in the league.
Yeah, and I think last week we talked a lot about newcomers to the league. But one person we've missed both times was Daniil Henry from Suwon. Now,
true.
I still wouldn't pick him for my newcomer of the year, but it's worth noting that he's got the most interceptions in the league, and he's heavily involved in other rankings as well. And he's clearly doing he's got a very busy job, certainly, at Suwon. I can't, looking at Suwon's defensive record, maybe you can't say he's very good, but he looks good, he looks all right. He's had a few missteps every now and then.
I was going to say, I think the thing is you have to watch them on the regular to see that, because he shows up in highlight reels way too often.
That's right,
And he was burned quite a few times by JDT in Champions League. Just has a couple of gaffes in him every now and again, and then Edgar just threw him to the ground. Against Daegu, just caught him wrong-footed. But, I mean, that's the thing. I do think Daniil Henry is a really good defender. And having seen him play in MLS and for the Canadian national team, I know he's got the talent. He just still has those errors in there that he's got to get rid of. But we got to move on here because we're two matches in out of six. We're running out of time. The next one is Pohang Steelers 1, Gwangju FC 1. And I think I'm going to say that this one gets chalked up to the rainy season here.
That I am still unsure how that match was allowed to play. But, I mean, with such a tight schedule, perhaps it's hard to rearrange as well. But, it was just a waterlogged pitch in the end. It was Gwangju took the lead through Felipe from the penalty spot. And then Pohang got a late, late equaliser. I believe it was Pohang's 1,800th goal in their career. But... it was scored by a young lad, Go Young Jin. He came off the bench.
The stat everybody's looking for, by the way. The 1,800th goal.
I'm sure they were very happy with that goal and not the point. But,
not stealing a point at the very end against Gwangju.
But good performance from Gwangju. Pohang fought back, but
Gwangju is what it was. Gwangju seems to have turned a corner a little bit. They're looking more confident, I think. And, we've been talking a lot about the fans coming back and what that may mean. I think the fans being in their new stadium should help out. Hopefully the rain is done for those fans, because there's no cover there, and that's going to be a rough night out. But I want to personally thank Go Young Jun for keeping me alive in K-League Survivor, our weekly Pick'em League. And I had Pohang, thought it was a safe pick, and it was. Wasn't it?
A lot of
I'm
people.
Still alive.
A lot of people had picked Pohang as well, so he made a lot of people happy.
Indeed. All right, let's move on to what we'll call the final match for Saturday night, and that was Daegu FC 0, Jeonbuk Hyundai Motors 2, with my pick for MVP, as we talked about last week, Kimbo Kyung getting a really nice brace.
Yeah, he did. Kimbo Kyung now 3 goals in two matches.
That's
He's
right.
rolling back the year. I wouldn't say years, because, it wasn't so long ago he was given the MVP award, but... Yeah, he's starting to fit in central midfield. I think the talking point here in the lineups though was Gustavo has started, mm-hmm. and they've brought in a young lad, Lee Sang-yun, on the left, just to meet that under 22 quota.
Which
now
is what you've said.
Well, I didn't think they'd be bringing him in. I thought they'd be bringing Isu Bin in. Right. Isu Bin was out of the team altogether. But overall, John Butt looked a different class today on the match day. They were just. They've been fortunate a couple of times, though, John, but they were fortunate because this is the second time they've versed Daegu this season without Cecina.
Yeah.
I think if Cecina was playing for Daegu, they would have been tested a lot more.
Well, they're a very different side with him.
They are. And I think also Hankyo Won might have been lucky to stay on the pitch. I think he should have had a second yellow card for one foul that he did in the first half. Got away with it. But apart from that, there was no arguing really of who the better side was. And yeah, good to see Kim Bo Kyung getting himself on the score sheet and looking like the player that we all know he can be.
Yeah. And the highlights are out there on social all over the place. Mm-hmm. That first goal was nice.
Yeah, it really was. And I also just want to mention like the stadium itself. Mm-hmm. We are going to push on, but we've talked about this stadium so many times, but it's the first time I've seen it in person. Mm-hmm. Absolutely fantastic, that stadium. It's the right size. You feel right on the pitch when you're on it, when you're sitting there. And outside the stadium, they have restaurants and various other facilities and things that are open in the week. They're also open till late. And there's just this atmosphere outside the ground.
Yeah.
And I can't rate the work they're doing highly enough at Daegu at the moment.
Yeah. Well, as we've said before, they're showing the way forward for citizen clubs. Can't say it enough. All right, let's move on to Sangju Sangmu 2, Busan I-Park 0. This was the first of the Sunday matches that we'll cover there. This was the Moon Sun Min show.
Yeah, we came off the bench, and it was one of those highlight reels where you see that they include the substitute in the highlights. And
right.
Why are they doing that? Something's going to happen. And oh boy, did it. Moon Sun Min, his first goal, he beat 1, 2, 3, 4 players.
And nutmegged someone.
Yes.
I hate the celebration.
How did he get away with that? Because the army side usually has to salute.
Yeah, I'm sure that he's probably doing a few extra push-ups this week.
Kim Tae-won won't have that.
Kim Tae-won
he runs a tight
that.
Ship.
But I mean, it was a fantastic goal. It was one of those goals that shows why he's been in the national team, why there's been so much talk around him, why Jungbook were so much different without him. When he can turn it on, he's just other level, you know, and I think, again, celebration aside, he really is just masterful at times. And he just made the defenders all look like idiots.
He did. I think the Busan defenders should have done a bit better, to be honest.
They 100% should have. Somebody
Tursunov went to attack, like try and shove him off the ball, and ended up getting shoved himself onto the ground.
Yeah.
It was, they just fell apart as he's running at them. But yeah, that is why he's so feared, and that's why he was a MVP nominee last season. But we should really talk about Busan as well. That's one draw in their last four league outings, or five if you include the cup, and the rest all being losses. This comes after the team had started to build up a bit of momentum as well. And should there be concerns? I mean, there's an editorial piece on our website at the moment discussing the point of view from our Busan columnist, Todd Wild, and I don't know. I don't know what Busan fans' aims are, because from a non-Busan perspective, it'd be like, oh, they're going to survive comfortably. But then again, in a season when there's only one person getting relegated, maybe you should be pushing for a little bit higher. And how close that top half is, then perhaps.
Well, that's the thing, right? Because Seongnam is currently sitting in sixth, and they're all of 2 points ahead of Busan right now. So relegation is not a concern.
No.
And we'll talk about that in the next match. But yeah, I think Busan should be aiming a little bit higher. A top six finish would be massive for them this year, and it's right there for the taking.
Yeah, and I guess the worry is, if they don't make it, then do you look at all these talented players, do they stay for next season?
Sure.
Because, you know, some maybe have contracts ending, and some are probably attracting the attention of bigger fish.
Yeah, other clubs for sure. And the final match of the weekend, we've kind of alluded to it there. It was Incheon United 0, Seongnam FC, a Nasang-ho brace, another couple of really good goals, a free kick goal that was quite good. And his second one was just, I mean, it was perfect.
Yeah.
It was inch perfect. Kissed the post on the way in, curled it behind the defender's back. I mean, this is the Nasang-ho that we've seen on the national team. This is the Nasang-ho that earned a move over to Japan. Nice to see him get going.
Yeah.
And I think we talked about it a lot, that he was one of the best signings of the summer. So it's nice to see that coming off. And this shows how close things are in K1 right now. We always talk about K2. K1 right now, that win bumped Songnam from 11th to 6th.
Yeah, it's so tight down there at the moment. And yeah, it's impressive. Songnam.
It's insane.
What somebody stupidly said they're going to finish 12th, and they're now in the top half of the table.
They were one place away from it going into the weekend, and now they're up into the top half of the table. Mm-hmm. And we'll see if he can get going, if Nasanko can get going, and Songnam can have an attack. Boy, that's a very different team. Mm-hmm. Because they were just listless for such a long time. No idea what to do up there. If he can get going, that frees up space, you would assume, for Kiss and other people to kind of get going. So we'll see there. On the other side of it, oh, man.
It's not looking good for Incheon,
Incheon's,
is it?
You have to get points out of that game. It's a team right above you in the table.
Yeah.
You can't afford to lose that game. And look, set-piece goals, that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Especially with somebody like Na Sang-ho hitting them in. That's going to happen, but you have to be able to do something at the other end of the pitch. And they're 9 points adrift right now behind Suwon, mm-hmm. currently. Suwon is currently down into 11th. And, you know, a win for Suwon could see them up into 6th next weekend. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's where we are from 6th to 11th right now. But there's just such a massive drop-off down to Incheon, and they're running out of time.
Yeah, they really are. Just a quick point as well. I think, actually, Songnam were 9th. Going into last week's game, but they were on similar points with 10th and 11th. But yeah, as you said, it shows how tight it is.
Yeah.
I mean, in a league that's decided by goals scored, not goal difference, you know, 2 extra goals at the weekend, that's going to serve them massively as the season progresses.
Yeah. I think they were down there the week before. I don't know.
It changes so much.
It changes very quickly. So, but I mean, either way, I think in form, that's mm-hmm. a team that had been struggling. You know, they had 1 win in 4 coming into it. And yeah, Incheon, ooh, I don't know, man. I can't say it publicly because I won't doubt them this year, but it's... Well, maybe Jeonim will have a few more matches up here in the capital area next year for me. But yeah, that's what happened in K-League 1. And speaking of Jeonim, we are going to take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about K-League 2, round 14. We'll be right back.
FNR is a revolutionary football-dedicated digital platform, the first of its kind in Australia. It provides a 24/7 live online radio platform experience, podcast hub, and acts as a content provider for TV, radio, and digital. Having reached millions of listeners and football fans since launching, FNR is accessible worldwide via its website or app, providing a platform to discuss, debate, and celebrate the world game. We are your voice of football, FNR Football Nation Radio.
Welcome back to the K-League United Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Walters, joined in the studio by Matthew Binns.
Hello.
And we're into the party zone. We're talking about K-League 2 and round 14, which got kicked off on Saturday with Ansan Greeners losing 1-0 to FC Anyang in the Line 4 derby. Out there on YouTube right now, the Ansan foreign supporters put out a video about the experience of going to one of these games with COVID-19. This is something that we've done this from the media end of things, but it's interesting to see the fan experience and to see what it's like being in the stands, because I know, obviously, this is kind of a rarity in the world right now. So interesting perspective there. Unfortunately, they did not see their team win that day, though.
No, they didn't. It was Kim Kyung-min for Anyang to... give the visitors victory in the Line 4 derby.
I think this is for Ansan. Okay, you concede an early goal, goes mm-hmm. in the 17th minute, but then they get a red card in the 45th, and what are you gonna do? how are you gonna come back from that? And I think we're starting to see that bottom part of K-League 2 go adrift a little bit. Anyang, even with the win, is on 13 points mm. right now, but that's 6 behind Jeonim, who are in 7th, who dropped significantly with their loss. But we're seeing the A-teams, as Dan Croydon put it on Twitter. Anyang, Ansan, and Asan are all just a little too far out of it. But, I mean, 2 wins, back-to-back wins in K-League 2 will do it for you. Back-to-back wins for anybody other than really Asan right now, and they're right back in it. But I think for both of these teams, it seems like it's to the point of the season where you're starting to look to 2021 and who's going to be around for that? Buchan did it last year. Buchan had that 5-match winning streak to get into the playoffs. So you never know, but
it does look like things are dividing up a little bit down there now.
Yeah. And speaking of where things are being divided, we thought there would be a huge gap at the top of the K-League 2 table because we thought Daejeon Hana Citizen would be running away with it. Well, another Saturday night match was them losing 3-2 to Gyeongnam FC, a resurgent Gyeongnam FC, yeah, a team that all of a sudden is right back in the thick of things with the playoff hunt. And this is one that I wanted to hear Paul's rant on it because Daejeon were 2-0 up.
Yeah, it was, Luke Castagnos scored an own goal, mm-hmm, to give Daejeon the lead, and then Andre Luis slotted in on the half-hour mark.
As he does.
Yeah, 2-0, half-time. It was a waterlogged pitch, again, it should, mm-hmm, be mentioned.
Yes.
Pitch probably didn't help, but then again, Daejeon still scored 2 goals, so, you know.
That's got to be enough.
Yeah, and we've been talking about in recent weeks how Gyeongnam have been struggling, how they've been underperformers, as mm-hmm, we were talking about in recent podcast, and yeah, they fought back. Daejeon just, they look, I don't know, listless a little bit in defence. I mean, no, that's perhaps a little bit too harsh, but they need more organisation, I think, at the back. And
they fall asleep.
Yeah.
They fall asleep sometimes.
How can you concede 3 goals? Conceding 2 is bad enough. Giving up a 2-goal lead, but you want to be champion, you want to get promoted in your first season after getting bought. How, it's unforgivable to let in 3 goals.
Well, especially with the last one essentially being the last kick of the game.
Yeah, so just for the, it was Baek Sun-dong who started the comeback for Gyeongnam, and then Hwang Il-soo getting the equaliser in the 81st minute before Ko Kyung-min got the winner in the 90th minute. It was a bit, the cross came in off a deflection and Ko Kyung-min, sure, was waiting there at the back, and then it was a good finish though by him.
It was a good finish, but also There wasn't enough panic from the defenders, in my opinion, there. Right. You've got to close that down.
Yeah.
You can't be allowing a shot in the 90th minute. Like, just do whatever you need to do. And I think that's kind of, well, we've seen this from Hwang Sun-hong's teams before. That's all. I mean, we'll see. I mean, Daejeon, they're still in second. They got a little bit lucky this weekend with other results.
And I also think we've got to remember they are a new team. I think
that's true.
Obviously, they have to be in the promotion talk given the outlay. Mm-hmm. But they're also just a new team as well. You see clubs get bought around the world. You see City, it's happened to my team City. You know, mm-hmm, the success didn't come in the first season.
Right.
It took time for it to gel. But I suppose K2 as well, lots of teams have overhauls. So
sure,
maybe that argument really can't be leveled. And given the money and the wages they're spending at that club, or rumoured to be allegedly spending, it's...
Well, one amount that we do know, it was $1 million for Kim Dong-jun, and he's out. And that's just a massive absence. I mean, a strong goalkeeper in K2 can carry you to a title. Mm-hmm. And they don't have that right now, and that's really showing. But we got to move on to some other results in K-League 2. Or do we? Well, because the first
speaking
one...
Speaking of strong goalkeepers.
Oh, my God.
Actually, these are 2 very good goals, I think. Well, one was a very good goal, and the second one...
We're on to Jeonnam Dragons losing 2-1 at home to Seoul Eland, and man, look, I'm just gonna tip my cap to Seoul Eland because the first half I think was about what both managers would have wanted. Mm-hmm. Went in 0-0 at the half, and I think it was close. But I noted this on Twitter as well. The Dragons had over 70% possession and 2 shots. You can't do that.
Nah.
You cannot do that. And a team as good as Seoul Eland, they're gonna make you regret that. And they did in the second half. And this is the second week in a row that we've seen Seoul Eland completely come alive in the second half. In round 13 against Buchan at home, the second half was a completely different story. In Gwangyang against Jeonnam this time, the second half was a completely different story. Like, they came out, they just unrelentingly attacked the game, and the Dragons couldn't cope with it.
Mm. No, they couldn't. And yeah, Go Jae-hyun got the goal in 46 minutes, so straight out
the gate.
Yeah, it was a really nice finish as well from him.
Yeah,
killed it into the bottom left corner, I think, from if I remember.
Anybody that's beaten Park Joon-hyuk's got to be good.
And then it was Kwang Sang-ok who got the second and for Eland, and Park Joon-hyuk spilled the initial ball, but yeah, Kwang was there to follow up. It's not his fault.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the ones. Well, yeah, I'm always going to stand up for him, but I mean, I think that's one of the ones where he made the initial save and there's just nobody there. I mean, Kwak Sung-ok was just wide open at the back post and literally had the entire net, you know, and good on him. I love that type of player.
Yeah.
Give me a player that scores 20 tap-ins in a year. I want them on my team. I love it. I'm not faulting him. The Dragons' defense has got to be a little bit better there. But, I mean, also, the Dragons' attack has got to be better. Hernandez, starting to get worried about that a little bit. Like he looks like that might have just been a flash in the pan in the first one, or he's not settling in, or something's not going right there. And they're just settling for too many shots from outside. They did get a penalty to draw one back in this. I thought that was the right call. And Kim Hyung-wook took that. That was a little bit surprising. Did well with it. But they've just got to figure out how to get a little bit more bite in the attack and to just be threatening moving forward, settling for way too much from outside and just settling for shots that aren't ever going to do anything.
No.
Yeah. And we see that all the time in K-League 2. A match where we did see some shots from the outside that were just outstanding was when Bucheon 1995 beat league leaders Suwon FC at home 2-0. And the second goal in this one, oh, baby. Oh, baby. Choi Soo-chul's goal was just outstanding. From distance, top corner, with pace, with power. I mean, in Bucheon, they looked good this whole match. And they're just this up-and-down team this year. I just don't know what we're going to get each week. And, you know, that's K2 in a lot of ways. But they're fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
They were fun in this one. And finally, and the Bucheon fans got to sit in those new stands. This year, they built the temp stands in the north and east side, and fans finally got to sit in those, and they saw a show. I thought this was a really good match.
Yeah, you just mentioned their form there. Their form, if you run it back for the last five, is win, loss, draw, win. They just, you don't know what you're going to get, and those two wins are against the top two, Suwon and Daejeon. Yep. They find the wins, but then they'll also just take three goals against Seoul Eland another week.
Yeah. Yeah, they're 1 point out of the playoffs right now behind Seoul Eland. But, props to Bucheon. We're trying to do this on time this week as well. So, but we got to talk about Suwon.
Yeah.
As Joe Quinn pointed out on Twitter, this is the sixth loss in seven matches against Bucheon.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a team, this is their Incheon United if you're a Jungkook fan. but they just can't seem to get one past Bucheon. And for me, was signing Lars a mistake?
I think it's too early to tell in that sense. But I mean, I think it's
one of those things, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I do think that he has quality. He hasn't showed through yet. No goals in four games for Suwon. And Suwon does score a fair amount. But that attack, everything was figured out. And I mean, he even said this in the interview we had with him. Why does Suwon want me? They've got the league-leading scorer. And they wanted somebody to back him up, but they wanted somebody to back up An Byung-jun. I mean, but what is going on with Suwon?
Yeah, it's a bit worrying, isn't it? But two losses on the Bucheon loss, still bad enough. But the loss before, losing to Ansan Greeners the week before, that's just, you can't have that.
You can't be doing that.
No offense, Ansan fans, but you just.
No, I mean, this
opposite,
is the same.
Opposite ends of the table.
This is the same Ansan team that just lost to Anyang over the weekend.
Yeah.
So I mean, you can't stay at the top of the table, but I mean, apparently you can, because Daejeon did them a massive favor.
Mm-hmm.
And had Daejeon even held on, and this is why we're saying you can't allow a goal with the last kick of the game, because that 1 point would see Daejeon tied on points with Suwon.
Mm-hmm.
So, but this is one of the things I love about K-League 2. But before we run out of time, let's move on to the final match of the weekend. It was a Monday night affair. And JG United saw off Cheongnam Asan to the tune of 2-1. This is one that I feel Jeju probably should have scored a fair few more.
Yeah, Jeju were all over them from the moments I saw of it anyway. Yeah, it's a golfing class. We've all been tipping Jeju to do well, and they are up in third. We're a point off the top now.
Yeah, 3 wins in 5 right now. And yeah, like you say, they're 1 point off the top, and this title race is all sorts of fun right now. And I think before we move on to the more general things, though, I think Asan look a lot better. They lost this one, but they look so much better than they did in the opening, 8 rounds?
Mm.
They look like a team that I think, if they can keep the personnel together, then I think they could grow into a pretty good mid-table club next year that's challenging for a playoff spot, which for all the turmoil that this team has had would be pretty good. They looked all right in this one.
Mm-hmm.
And Mujakic got one in this. Nice to see him get going. It was in the 86th minute. You never know. Hey, maybe that's going to be enough to get a point out of things. But I do think it's worth noting that Asan do look better. They just don't look as good as Jeju does. And Jeju looks real good.
Yeah, they do. I think Jeju, well, we've tipped them for title contenders, and they may still well take it at this rate if Suwon's collapse is more than just two games. So,
yeah, they could get up there, and, well, there are some important matches coming up for them in the next round, which we will be talking about after we take a quick break. We're going to come back and talk about K-League 1, and then we will get into K-League 2 after that, but we'll be right back.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email KLU at info@kleagueunited.com or tweet at KLeague United with any questions, comments or reactions. Or follow us on Facebook to ask directly during one of our live shows.
Welcome back to the KLeague United podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Walters, joined by Matthew Binns.
Hello.
I'm so used to introducing more people, and it's like, yeah, I'm here with Binns again. Anyway,
well, I can put accents on if you like. But yes. No.
Shouldn't have offered that. Anyway, let's talk about round 16 in K-League 1 real quick. We do have some Friday night action. I love these Friday night matches. It's Seongnam FC versus Busan I-Park. That's actually a pretty tasty one right there, given what's going on with them. And Saturday we have, well, speaking of tasty, we got the East Coast Derby with Ulsan hosting Pohang with fans in the stands for that one at 25% as well. We haven't mentioned that yet. 25% capacity this weekend, which is going to be huge at the Munsu and all of these other World Cup stadiums. 25% capacity is pretty much good enough at this point, if we're being honest about it. And Ulsan's going to want some revenge in that, but we'll talk about that one. Also happening on Saturday at the same time, all these matches kick off at 7 o'clock local. FC Seoul is hosting Sangju Sangmu. Suwon Blue Wings are hosting Jeonbuk Hyundai Motors. And then Sunday, things are going to wrap up again, 7 o'clock kickoffs for Daegu FC hosting Incheon United and Gwangju FC versus Gangwon FC. So, Matthew, of those matches, which one are you highlighting for this weekend?
Normally, Jeonbuk Suwon would be a... It's always one to watch.
It is a rivalry.
It's a frustrating one to watch, usually.
For Jeonbuk fans.
If you want to see some red cards, there's your answer probably, for this weekend. It's always a very heated affair, but I think there's going to be a more heated affair at Ulsan, obviously. I don't think you can ignore the East Coast Derby. That is the highlight of round 16. And, well, last time Ulsan got their revenge, if you can call it revenge, because...
You can't.
Yeah, it's not. They haven't really taken anything away from Pohang there. But last time, Ulsan thrashed Pohang, absolutely thrashed them. After Pohang had previously helped Jeonbuk steal the title from them
for the second time, Pohang took the title from Ulsan on the last day of the season. So no, it's not revenge to beat them 4-1 in the beginnings of the regular season.
So yeah, it should be a good match. There's going to be the suspensions for both teams. As we mentioned earlier, Kim Tae-hwan got a red card, so he's not going to be in the squad for Ulsan. They have got reasonable depth. I think they'll be okay
there.
Right. And Manuel Palacios is still suspended after getting a straight red at Jeonbuk. So they'll be missing him. I think Palosevic is looking to be coming back, though, for Pohang. He's been on the bench a few times, and I think that we'll expect it to see him.
I think throw in Namjoon Jae in Palacios' usual spot and you're fine.
Yeah. So that's definitely one to watch if you're looking for K-League action. And I believe that's being broadcast worldwide in the countries that have the coverage.
Yeah, which there are too many to mention here. We'll put that out. That's always in the league-wide rundown on kleague.com. That at the end there, it says where to watch, and those are all there. And that should be a fun one. These teams do not like each other.
No.
I think for the longest time, we talked about the super match, and that's where a lot of things were. But with Ulsan's revival as a title challenger and Pohang challenging for ACL spots, this rivalry is starting to get the spotlight that it deserves. These are two teams that are a lot of fun on their day, and I'm really looking forward to that one. I think it's going to be really fun. A match that I'm going to highlight that a few weeks ago I didn't necessarily think I would. I want to see what FC Seoul can do against Sangju Sangmu. Sangju is a really good team this year. Their form's a little bit up and down right now. And I think that this is a really good test for Seoul. I think last weekend, Gangwon is going to Gangwon. You know, as I'm always saying, like they've got that in them to just lose 2-0 to Seoul. So I want to see... Can FC Seoul trust the kids again? Can they put in that kind of a performance again? And can they hold off this Sungju side? A side that we've seen held scoreless before or held down before, but Moon Sun-min came on, scored a brace. They've got Oh Se-hoon. They just have so many weapons. And I think this is a really big test for FC Seoul. And they're currently sitting in eighth, but they're only 1 point off of the top half of the table right now. And if they were able to scrounge into the top half of the table after the season that they've had, disappointing on paper, yes, but that would still be absolutely massive for FC Seoul. And as we've said before, depending on what happens in the FA Cup and the fact that Sungju Sungmu is automatically relegated, mm-hmm. Sungju's currently in third, which is usually an ACL spot, we could be looking at fourth and maybe even fifth being an ACL spot this year. So absolutely massive for FC Seoul. And just from a curiosity standpoint, I'm just curious to see what they can do against a team as talented as Sungju at home.
Yeah, it's the right test, I think, at the right time mm-hmm. in this Seoul revival. So, as you said, they've had two matches which they've played well, but Sangju's just that next level. It'd be worse, I think, if John Buck was coming to town or if Ulsan were coming to town. Mm-hmm. It could really crush the confidence here. But get a win against Sangju, that's a big win. Yeah. And then you've got three in a row wins. And
I don't remember the last time they did that.
Yeah.
I think early last summer. Also, I just have to mention, I mentioned this at the beginning, but Seongnam FC hosting Busan, I'm really curious about that one to see how that goes, because Seongnam have two wins in four. They're looking a little bit better. I think Busan should give them a test. And like we were saying, if Busan wants something out of this season, this is the kind of match that they need to win. This is a team that's in the top half that they're facing, the Magpies. And a win would see them leapfrog Seongnam. It might not be enough to get them into the top six, depending on results elsewhere, but they would at least be moving above competition that's above them in the table right now, and they can end their losing streak. Mm-hmm. They're on a three-match losing streak right now. So, I mean, basically, almost every single match this weekend, I think, is one. Because Gwangju and Gangwon, there could be goals galore in that one. Daegu against Incheon, I think there will be goals for one side in that one.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping to take that one in person. You got to go see the stadium last weekend. I'm hoping to see that one. So, I think there are things all across the board to watch in K-League 1. But let's move on to K-League 2, round 15 coming up this weekend. That will kick off on Saturday. Staggered start times for this one. 7 p.m. sees Ansan Greeners hosting Jeonnam Dragons. That'll finish, I think, 18-0 to Jeonnam is what I'm predicting there. Anyway, FC Anyang, fresh off their win, host Bucheon 1995. And that is an 8 o'clock kickoff locally on Sunday, 6:30. I kind of like that start time, actually. Gangnam FC will be hosting Cheongnam Asan. And at 8 o'clock, Suwon FC host Jeju United. Massive match there. And Monday Night Football, love it. Another really fun one, Daejeon Hana Citizen versus Seoul Eland. Matthew, which match are you going to be picking for that weekend?
Well, I think fans might quite enjoy the Anyang Bucheon one, because that's always a bit of a heated rivalry, but that's not, again, not the one I'm going to choose, but fans are back in the stadium, and mm-hmm. it's a bit of a derby. So, yeah, Anyang Bucheon would be one to take in this Saturday if you're looking for something to see. But I think, obviously, for me, the match of the round, I'm actually going to say it's Daejeon versus Seoul Eland.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think we've seen Daejeon have a bit of a wobble recently, mm-hmm. and we've seen Seoul Eland find form. We never know with it. You never know with Seoul. They'll win 3-0 one week and they'll lose the next. But they've looked good these last two games, and Daejeon seem to be there for the taking right at the moment. And Seoul Eland are in fourth mm-hmm. as well. They're in the playoffs. Beat Daejeon, they cement themselves for a little bit longer in there. And I think it would be a massive statement win if the Leopards can get something.
Well, beat Daejeon, you're equal on points as well. And we've seen Seoul Eland beat Daejeon this season.
Yeah.
They beat him 2-0 last time out. So, yeah, I think that's a great shout. I think that's going to be that's a bigger test for Daejeon than it is for Seoul. Seoul's got none to lose in this one.
Mm-hmm.
If you can go into Daejeon and get some points out of it, great. If you lose to Daejeon, whatever. You're still doing well overall. Daejeon, I'm not going to say it's a must win, because they're not really in that position right now, but I think that's an absolutely massive match for Daejeon. They need to get back into form. If they just lost to Gangnam, which, you know, obviously they did, they've got to be able to bounce back and beat a good team like Seoul Eland. And yeah, I think that's going to be a really fun one, and it's on Monday night, so there's nothing competing against it. Very easy to tune in and watch that one. For me, I gotta go. We can't get out of the segment and not talk about Suwon versus Jeju. It's first versus third. Suwon, talk about teams looking there for the taking. Back-to-back losses. Jeju looked really strong over the weekend. Jeju have looked good all year. And much like we're saying for Daejeon, K2 is insane. K2 is absolutely bonkers. And I put this out over the weekend, but going all the way down to 7th, Jeonnam are 6 points off of the top right now in 7th place. So, I mean, after this weekend, if we see Daejeon and Suwon lose, the team's 4th, 5th, 6th, if they can get some wins, then this whole title race is a big old mess. If you want to avoid that and you want to get the title, go out and win, Suwon. And that's what they have to do. I think they need to win this one in order to maintain that position, because if they lose to Jeju, Jeju's in first, and it's a lot tougher to climb back into that position for Suwon than it is to just stay there. And to me, Suwon need to prove that they can score goals again.
Yeah.
Like, they've got to get that attack back going. And Jeju is going to bring it. And Jeju has a strong defense as well. So I think that's going to be... Those are some really, really fun, really interesting matches in K-League 2 that could have title implications, because, you know, we're sitting here talking about all these other teams. Dare we talk about Seoul Eland as title contenders?
I think Michael Redmond, our Seoul Eland columnist, wouldn't want us to jinx it. I think we'd have lots of...
I'm not Dan Croydon. Dan Croydon is not allowed to touch anything K-League 2 because he just breaks everything K-League 2 that he touches. But I mean, look, if Seoul Eland win, they could be as high as 2nd.
Yeah.
They could be.
It's fun times in Jamshed at the moment.
And this is the true beauty of K-League 2. Because again, all the way down to Jeonnam on 19 points right now, they win... Got to say they're in the title hunt at the moment. You know, I mean, K-League 2 is always nuts.
I mean, it's also worth saying as well, like, this weekend could really benefit Gyeongnam. If Suwon, Jeju, Daejeon, and Seoul draw, Gyeongnam have got Chungnam Asan at home. Mm-hmm. Gyeongnam win, and then suddenly they're back in it. They're back in the playoffs.
And you assume that's what's going to happen, but because it's K-League 2 and we've seen Ansan beat Suwon, you never know what's going to happen. Maybe Asan gets that win over Gyeongnam. But, I love following the second division because it's all over the place. And that's what we got coming up this weekend there. And love it, love it, love it. Anyway, we're going to hop out of here. The two of us are going to get out of here. And on the other side of the break, we have George Slade's interview with Bucheon 1995's media officer, Hong Jun-chul, regarding his new book and his experience in marketing the game across the globe. And when I say across the globe, Jun has had a very interesting career. He's talking about the differences and similarities between Europe and here in Korea. And this is a journey that's seen him go from Aston Villa to Al Ghazal Golf Club in the UAE, all the way back here to Bucheon 1995. So a fascinating journey, 10 years experience doing this. And that's what he's talking about with George Slade on the other side of the break. And, well, we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening.
Uji Lewis is your neighborhood British bar and cafe located in the old Jiro district of Seoul. Decorated in old English antiques and furniture for a true homely feel, you can enjoy homemade scones, cakes and afternoon tea during the day, and traditional British favorites like beef stew, English ale and a fine selection of wines at night. Available for private parties or simply an evening out, Uji Lewis is sure to become your favorite neighborhood pub. Be sure to mention K-League United at the bar during your visit and you'll get 10% off your bill.
Hello everyone, this is George Slade at K-League United. I'm here with Hwang Jun-chul, who works for Bucheon FC 1995. He is here to promote his new book. I actually interviewed Jun last year to talk about marketing in K-League 2, but just to remind everyone, Jun, what is your current role at Bucheon and what are your main duties?
Hi, George. It's good to see again. So I'm still working at Bucheon. My current role is media officer. Obviously, during the match day, I organize like all the club records, especially for journalists to write about the news about our home match. And apart from a match day, I also write club news regularly about club records and other club business, everything about club activity. I write the club news as well as from this year, I also write the club magazine, which is actually new ever since our club is founded. So every 2 months, I write the club magazine, including all the people around our club. And then, the major club news, as well as our club, any activity for every 2 months.
Okay, so why did you choose a career in football marketing? And what is your previous experience in this field?
Well, football is very interesting sports that I ever done and ever seen in my life. And then while I was studying in the UK, I very inspired how people enjoy football with the people. So I can see that all the community hanging around together and watching and having good time with, especially with football. So that's the reason why I chose, and then I get interested in working in football industry. About 10 years ago, I have a new first experience watching Premier League. Well, and 2015, I studied in Leeds, studying marketing in general, and I had a very good opportunity working at Aston Villa for a short time as an internship, which is my first job ever, and I always keep chasing that working at sports industry, especially in football. But it was not really going well. However, I tried to find any good experience, about sports industry. So after I have an internship back in K-League at Suwon FC, I also have experience like a golf club in Abu Dhabi in Middle East. And now I'm back in K-League again as a media officer at Bucheon FC. So I know it's quite a journey hanging around many other organizations, but I only chase the football and sports.
Well, Jun, the main reason we're here today is about your new book. So can you tell us, of course, what is the name of the book and what is your book about?
So my book, which is in Korean, the title is 오늘도 공은 굴러간다, which means football is keep going rolling and rolling again. So which means it represents my journey about football and sports industry, because football also always rolling and rolling by players. And also my journey about football is always hang around, and it was very enjoyable. So I represent my journey with a title, and my book is all about my experience in sports. So apart from football, it also represents my working experience, not in the football industry, my marketing position, about marketing experience, and also about golf, tennis, rugby, and I can handle and adapt all my experience in now in Bucheon. So it's about my last 10 years, because I always keep writing about my small experience in my web blog in Korean. So I come up with all the things about my journey, and then I make the book. For me, it's very memorable thing, because the thing that I record in website and in blog, which make it to the handbook, pocket size book, which is very, for me, it's small but a very memorable book. So, whenever I read the book again, I looking back my days in that time and back in study or working experience. So I can also inspire any idea from my past.
And why did you feel like the need to write this book? Was there something that inspired you, or was there a particular goal with this book?
The first that I start writing in my web blog is just to learn how to write. So because I studied journalism and mass communication, so only thing that I practice is to write. So that time, I only focus on writing something in Korean about my interest, which is about football. And it's been nearly 8 or 9 years since I managed my web blog. And then a few months ago that I think it would be nice to make the book, because I know it's already recorded, collected from my blog, but it's also kind of my wish list to have a self-publishing book by myself, which is a rare experience compared to other people. So that, I'm not like showing off that my experience, but only thing that I, how I lived, how I experienced. So I know that many football players or any other like people who have a motivation, and they have their own like autobiography or something. So I know my book is not a very featured about specific experience, but it's only featured my life for the last 10 years. So that's why I feel that maybe it's good to have a my own book, and then it is very good to present to someone who I know. My parents especially, they really want me to do something else apart from football industry, but well, I keep chasing my career and dream working at football industry. So which is, I want to share how I experienced to my parents especially. Apart from my parents, also my old friends and professor, teachers who I know for my whole life. So I haven't actually keep in touch with them for a long time, but well, with this book, maybe I can share how I lived for the last few years. So it's for people around me and for me. So.
And those readers, like, are there any lessons you want people to learn, or are there any feelings you want to create with this book?
Many people in Korea, they want to have a stable job, especially after graduate from university or high school. And it's very neat to settle down one day and then just get by themselves for life, and then which is kind of criteria that people have in Korea. But unluckily, I was not like that. Although I had an opportunity to work in like a football club, but it wasn't goes long time because it was like short term internship, or like it's not a fixed job, so which makes me frustrated for a while after I just finished my like a certain period of my career. And then of course specific job I want to work as a full-time job, but it wasn't goes like that. But nevertheless, I wanted to never give up working at my field, I mean my football industry. So that's why I moved to other country and also try to find another job in any other sports area. So that's all the things about my journey for last 10 years. And then this is not perfectly okay, but I try to put that story in my book. So for those who read my book one day, they can think that maybe there is a person who can have an experience like around the world or around the other work environment. So I want them, maybe for those who read my book, to the thing that maybe, although it is not a fixed time, fixed job, maybe people can also find another opportunity after opportunity.
How long did it take you to write the book? Can you describe the writing process?
Yeah, for the last 8 to 9 years, I have managed my blog by myself. And as it's been like 8 or 9 years, well, I have found it that there are maybe over 300 posting about my football experience and studying. And well, it's very important to collect all the things which fit my book. So I know I post a lot of things about my experience in my blog, but I had to choose like a specific content because I organize my books category by myself, and I have to choose the exact like contents that I want to express in my book. So it's not really take long time. I just made a category like living in the UK, living in Abu Dhabi, working at football clubs. And then I just select what post about. And then I started organize like books as a file. So it took approximately about 1 month to collect and just make a short like a draft. And then I made a consultation with a self publishing company. So it's been like 2 months I truly put my effort on to make this book. Yeah.
What are your future career goals? Would you like to stay in football marketing or change, such as toward writing professionally?
Well, still, like, writing is my, like, hobby. I don't see that my writing is quite a professional. But as a media officer in my current job, I want to write more about, like, club news and record to promote our club. So, yeah, at the moment, I like to manage my current job. But at one time in the future, maybe I want to study more about the, like, football industry. And then maybe we can... I can learn more about, like, a business, football business abroad, like a development countries. They also have maybe a way better perspective of business insight. So maybe I can also adapt into K-League. Always thinking how K-League and K-League clubs can promote their club to the outside of the world. So yeah, I want to study more about football business and then try to contribute to develop the K-League. Yeah.
When will this book be released and how can people buy it? What languages is it available in?
Okay. So unfortunately, I only write in Korean. For those who want to have this book, please keep in touch with me first, because I just give or selling this book by myself. So just contact me if you want to have a look. Yeah.
Well, you can tell us the name of the blog.
My blog is just Junchul in English, especially in Naver.
Do you have any plans to write more books? If yes, what topics would you like to write about?
Yes, my first book, this one, is describe all about my experience, how I, get a job in football industry for the last 10 years. But if I have a chance in the future, maybe after I get more experience and career in football industry, I want to write another book professionally about football business from my experience. Like in this book, I just write the way I studied marketing, the way I got a job in football clubs. But for future books, maybe I can share my specific experience football position, like market research or media operators, something like that.
And as you are a marketing professional, just we got a good opportunity here to ask this question. The K-League has had more attention on it this year than ever before because of the coronavirus. As a marketing professional, are there any strategies that you think can be used to successfully promote the league and K-League clubs abroad?
Well, very interesting to see that global platform from, like, Europe or Britain, they recently buy the few contents from K-League, which is very great to see that our Korean football league to the global platform. And then I think it's very important to promote clubs or league, like general products or outside. So for me, I think as I've been using, like, a social platform, business social platform like LinkedIn, so it's not really easy to get attention from the world, but I try to differentiate social content from, like, Instagram, Facebook to the LinkedIn. So maybe LinkedIn is about, like, business, so I try to promote how Bucheon FC, like K-League club, can promote to the world. So I know it's very hard to get attention first, but maybe I always wonder how it will be very good and dream that some, like, foreign investment to the football club in Korea. So maybe I can contribute our clubs to promote more about football and football culture in K-League to the world. So most important thing is using social media, and also try keep in touch with any investment company that interest K-League.
Okay, well, thank you, Jun, for your time, and it would be nice to have you back on in the future, and I hope people can enjoy your book. So thank you.
Thank you.
Kim Shin-woo!